So, as we already said, this is quite a variety of topics. Stephen Hooper is from the Health Economics Group in Rochester, New York, and he's looking at dental plans over a long period of time. So it's all yours.
Thank you. What I'm going to be talking about, I guess, is maybe a limit to success. We're talking about successful programs in this. One of the things that is in the literature, in newspapers, in APHA literature and so forth, has to do with access to care, has to do with utilization of care. And I'm specifically looking at the utilization of dental care. There are lots of things reported. Kaiser Family Foundation in 2010 said that more than 80% of low-income children with health insurance had a dental visit within the past 12 months. Other organizations report that the utilization is low. Other report that it's very high. Almost all of these reports come from self-reporting. I call up somebody, did you go to the dentist last year? Oh, sure I did. What I'm going to be doing is taking a slightly different tact. Now, the American Dental Association asks, how often do people go to the dentist? It's roughly about the same thing. It's what they say is about 60 or 70% of the people report that they've been to a dentist last year, sometimes even higher than that. But why don't more people go to the dentist? Why isn't it 100%? Well, the ADA and others say that the main reason is cost of care. So one of the major barriers is supposedly the cost of care, and we'll take a look at this. As a disclaimer, I run a company that's a third-party administrator. I've been doing this for an awfully long time. The only funding is our own that we get. We design and manage dental benefit plans, including the one that I'm going to be reporting on. This particular plan is a large one. It's in upstate New York. It's a county government. It has a negotiated benefit, and it's been in place for a long time, and there are a lot of people. And the plan is a rich run, relatively. I don't know. How many of you are covered by dental plans through where you work? How many of you have read your plan document or plan booklet recently? Not very many have. How many of you have a deductible in your plan? Almost everybody. This particular plan doesn't. It started in 1980. My company has been running it ever since. We helped with the design of it. I did some of the initial actuarial work. And interestingly enough, it doesn't have an orthodontic benefit. And we don't know why. They do have a flex plan. There are a lot of, it's a very rich benefit structure for the entire county government, which is one of the reasons that our taxes are so high. But it's, they've never asked for it. But we are running their flex plan, so, and that covers a lot. So what I wanted to do was take a look at data over a long period of time. We started running the plan in 1980. I'm not a dentist. I'm an engineer with an MBA. My partner has a bachelor, master's in math and an MPA, and we're sort of data junkies, and we figured out a way to retain data, and we have it on actually hundreds of thousands of people, mostly with dental. This is mostly what we do, and you can see that over a period of time, the utilization increased, but it did not get any higher than, it turns out, 72%. Now, the utilization jumped between 1995 and 2000, in part maybe because the annual maximum was increased from $750 to $1,000, which doesn't sound like a lot, but upstate New York, the Rochester, New York area, is not a really high cost of living area, although the costs, interestingly, when Kodak was flourishing and making x-ray film, the cost of x-rays in Rochester were much higher than in a lot of other places around the country. But, again, the utilization data that I'm going to be showing were extracted from claims. And because the plan covers first dollar, it's first dollar coverage for exams, cleanings, and so forth, really the initial dental visit or the recall visits are essentially free. So I'm looking at data from claims where there were incentives on the part of the dentist, certainly, and on the part of the patients or the plan participant, the employee or retiree, to submit the claims, because then they would get reimbursed. They're not self-reported data. So this is the total utilization over the period of time. I looked at 6 one-year intervals, defined utilization as having one dental claim, basically one or more visits, but certainly one dental visit in a given year. And there are an awful lot of tables that I could be showing, but I'm not going to because it's A, boring, and B, it takes too much time. But I do have the tables that I'm going to be showing in the next few minutes, plus a lot more in a handout. But also, if you contact me, I'll be glad to send you something electronically, which might be a little bit more efficient for you. Taking a look at 1985 utilization, and you can see that there's a difference between males and females at every age. And take a look at the lower one. I did not look at infants. As a result of some presentations that I saw within the last couple of days, it looks like I probably should do that, which I will. And I'm not going to show any more tables or bar graphs on the years. They're in the handout. But this shows the utilization over the 25-year period. And you can see that utilization increased for every age cohort we looked at, except the younger invincibles, who are actually, while they're not going to the dentist, they're also not signing up for Obamacare. And that's a whole other issue. But one of the things with what's going on now, seriously, with the Affordable Care Act and with self-insured dental plans, we were in self-insured dental plans, we figure that some people aren't going to spend very much, yet in budgeting, the employer will budget for single and family and just hope that they get a mix of some older people who use dentistry a lot and some who don't. But in the interest of statistical accuracy, this is what things really look like. The variation isn't really as big. It's really pretty narrow, and it has been narrow over the last many years, even though the American Dental Association is saying that utilization is dropping off and, oh, whoa, that's why dentist income is dropping. It might not be the case, because utilization seems to be, with this group for whom dentistry is pretty much paid for, not entirely, but for this group, utilization is pretty constant. But if we look at the difference between utilization, or for utilization patterns between the genders, you can see that overall the male utilization is higher than is lower than female, and this is not counterintuitive. It turns out some of us males don't like to go to the dentist. A lot of females don't, including my wife, who is here, hates to go to the dentist. I don't mind it, but this it's really it's true. There's someone who has long been coming to these meetings from the University of Maryland, who is looking at how one can increase utilization. What I've been reporting on data for a lot of years at these meetings is that, and when I used to teach at the Eastman Dental Center, part of the University of Rochester, I would tell the postdoc students that dentistry is something you can't give away to 25 or 30% of the population. And the question is, how do you get people to go? Well, this might show a limit of what you might be expecting. If you take a look at the difference in utilization at the youngest cohort we looked at, it's pretty much the same, and more about that in a little while. 25 to 35-year-olds, it's a pattern, but utilization has stayed pretty darn level over the period of time. And look at the area above those two lines, or the distance. Those are the people who don't go. For 35 to 50-year-olds, about the same. And again, if you are interested in this, rather than trying to memorize all this, look at the pictures that I have, and I'll show you in a minute how they tend to overlap. For 50 to 65-year-olds, utilization has increased over time. Why, we don't know, but it's really within a pretty narrow range. What is unusual about this particular plan is that it covers retirees. Now, what I probably should have done and didn't see it until we got everything plotted out is that I should have put something on there that says in 1985, the total enrollment of people 65 and over was only about 100. But by 2010, it's gone up to 1,600 because people over the 25 years have retired and kept their benefits. There's a fairly lot of turnover in county government or any kind of public thing, and a lot of people actually retire pretty early. So over the period of time, this is what the male utilization looks like. And again, it's gone up, but it varies within a relatively narrow range. And again, the young, invincible males don't go to the dentist terribly often. I'm not being facetious here, but if the males happen to have a girlfriend, they would tend to go more. And in fact, one of the things that you might find in the Affordable Care Act, if you've looked at the calculators, and in some, and I'm quite familiar with New York State, the prices for the silver plans, for example, for a single adult, they might be X. For two adults in the family, they're 2X. The same is true with the dental plans they have, medical and dental. Well, what we found over the decades running dental plans is that if there are two adults in the family, the cost is really about 2.2x because the spouses tend to encourage the other person to go, encourage maybe in quotes sometimes. With you can see that the utilization among the oldest cohort is not as high as the others, even though the retirees aren't paying anything at all, or if they're paying anything, it's only a couple of dollars a month for the plan, so everybody stays there. One of the things that we have found over the last many years, we run a dental plan benefit, a modest one, exams, cleanings, and x-rays for a Medicare Advantage plan, and right now we have about 30,000 individuals covered. And what we found over the years is that the utilization, even though the AARP and others say that dentistry is such an important benefit, we found that the utilization among people AARP age is really not much higher than 60 or 70%, even though in the case of the various plans we're running, the recall visit and so forth is about the same. So this might well be the upper limit of what someone could expect. Now, what we learned is that males don't go to the dentist as frequently as females, and we've learned that for all of the age cohorts we examined anyway, the utilization is much higher among males, but not for kids, not for the younger ones, and we'll get to that in a minute. But in the field of healthcare economics, it's really important to distinguish between the need for care and the demand for care. When it comes to dentistry, all of us really need to see a dentist at least annually. And dental disease, as we all know, some of us quite personally know that you can catch cavities when they're mild, when they're small, but if you put off going to the dentist or if a cavity is allowed to, shall we say, grow, you might need a crown and a root canal, and those are expensive. And they're also not very pleasant. And the same thing's true with periodontal disease. We all know this. Everybody in this room knows this, and probably most of us have taught it to our children and to our colleagues. I used to teach this all the time. I still do in benefits. I tell people at benefit fairs and enrollment, go to the dentist. It's going to be better for you to go now than put it off for 5 years. We all need to see a dentist regularly, but not all of us actually demands dental care annually. And we can see that it isn't the case. And apart from the occasional dental emergency, cracking a tooth when you eat an olive at a cocktail party or something, or you bite onto something, it's really unfortunate. But the decision typically to go to the dentist is voluntary. We can decide to visit a dentist or not. In a given 25-year period, it looks like 25 to 30% of the people choose not to go to the dentist. And it turns out fewer men than women go to a dentist. It's just it's a fact. But what about children and teenagers? The utilization is the same. Well, with respect to dental care, and it's probably pretty obvious, decision-making is done not by the children but by the parents, and parents treat boys and girls the same. So that's why a pediatrician, a kid's dentist, is going to see the same percentage of girls and boys, except as we get older, the decision-making is made not by our parents, but by ourselves. And it seems that parents treat boys and girls identically, but when we're on our own, the women are much better, if that's the right word, about seeking dental care. So what's really interesting about this to me, and I think to many of you should be, is that the reasons that a lot of people don't seek dental care are not economic. They're cultural, they're educational. I presented a paper last year, a couple years ago, on the fact that just building more infrastructure is not necessarily going to get more people to go to the dentist. It's going to be educational, and that's where really cross-pollination really works. I mean, so I'm sort of an economist, and I process dental claims. I design them, and I do some other things. So I work with employers who then work with their employees. We work with public health departments, and we try to encourage people to get the care that they need because it's good health, but also, frankly, it saves money for the sponsors of the plans. And so if you're trying to encourage public health, but also if you're running a budget, it's important to take into consideration the differences between genders and certainly the difference among ages. And it's a pretty obvious thing, but you could use these data to quantify at some part. Now, this particular group isn't typical of all groups, but we've been doing this for 35 years and for a lot of different kinds of groups. It's pretty much the same. In fact, we see utilization higher among public sector people than not for a whole bunch of reasons. One of them could be income, but not necessarily. It could be cultural, and a lot of people in public sector jobs meet the public. Not all, but the ones that do want to see dentistry, or they use dentistry more often. So that's it. Keep in mind, in terms of my presentation, that dentistry does vary, and dentistry truly is something you can't give away, but maybe you can encourage people to go. Thank you.
Questions?
Yeah, that's... Oh, sure.
And they still don't come for their preventive checkups then?
Absolutely. We run self-insured dentists, open panel. There are networks and so forth. But, yeah, people don't go. We in this room tend to go. But it's very interesting. A third of the people don't. And of course, a lot of people get reminders. But, of course, they don't get reminders if they haven't gone in the first place. We found over the first 5 years of running for the Medicare population, there were 30 or 40,000 people. We found that over a five-year period, about 20 people didn't go at all, even though it was free. And even though they'd all complained about it, that there was no dental coverage. So.
You don't mean 20, you mean 20%.
20%, yeah, I'm sorry, not 20,000, yeah. 20%, but 20% of 40,000 people is a lot.